Good morning and welcome to episode 3 of What's Going On, your monthly market update with Discovery. Today I'm joined by 91 analyst Atumile. Atumile is part of the South African multi-asset team that looks after our Discovery Balance Fund and target retirement date ranges. Atumile, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Yashin.
So over the past year, we've become well aware that the cost of living has risen dramatically. Today, I'd like to look at how that's affected South African companies. So the first question, how are these trends affecting the South African consumer? And within those trends, what can you say about South African retailers? Have there been specific trends emerging in that space?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Yashin. And I mean, to echo your point in the question that cost of living is becoming an issue. I mean, if you look at yesterday's strike, where a lot of people are starting to feel the impacts of this high inflation, and to look at the inflation rate that came out yesterday with the headline inflation number coming in at 7.8 and core inflation at 4.6. But I think the key takeaway for me was the food inflation number at 10.1% year on year, which was up from the June number of 9%. And I mean, it speaks to a lot of people that are under pressure. I mean, if you look at interest rates also increasing, some economists are expecting another 150 basis points over the next 6 months or so. If you look at fuel prices, yes, we will have a cut now in September, but I mean, longer term expectations are for oil prices to increase. So you will have a squeeze on disposable income. And one indicator, which is a simple indicator that I look at, is real wages. That's how I determine if the consumer is moving in the right direction. And real wages are, I mean, with inflation at where it is at the moment, the negative territory. So it's not good from a discretionary spend perspective. But in saying that, I think the consumer has held out much better than us, let's say, analysts, economists, and companies initially anticipated. So if you speak to all of these companies, I mean, the food retailers, clothing retailers, they'll tell you that, I mean, things are still going better than expected. I mean, top line is holding out better. I mean, if you look at the latest updates in July, top line across the clothing and the food retailers was pretty good, which surprised me and the rest of the market. And I mean, if I look at from a credit collection perspective, so if you look at the banks and if you look at the retailers as well, all of these retailers, they're saying that the credit collections are still good. So it's telling you that, yes, the consumer is struggling, but the consumer is still performing better than expected, which I think is surprising the market, us analysts and companies as a whole. I think the last point I'd mention is that from a trends perspective, especially on the food side, is that you've seen people visiting stores, I mean, much fewer than they did historically, but in saying that they're having bigger baskets, so they're buying more. And what is coming more evident when you speak to the retailers is that people are doing a lot of cross-shopping and a lot of comparing. So it tells you that things are tight. So you buy something, let's say, at Checkers, then you look for a better deal at a Macro or something. So things are getting tighter than they were. So to summarize, I mean, consumers struggling, but actually doing better than what we expected and what the companies expected.
Okay, at least that sounds a little positive. To stick on that theme within the food retailers, have we seen any significant changes in market share over the recent years? I mean, we all know the big names, yeah. But are there specific companies that have been net gainers, net losers? What are the dynamics at play there?
Yeah, thanks, Yashina. So when I look at the market share dynamics, you have to go back, I think, not to just look at 1 year. So compare 2021 and 2022, you'd have to go back and look at 2 years. So how things have unfolded with the start of the pandemic and the lockdowns in March, because a lot of companies initially benefited, like a spa, for example, had big numbers because they had a March year end. So all that, remember, we were forced to buy, like do a lot of pantry loading and do a lot of cooking. So spa was a big beneficiary. And then the other guys slowly benefited as the pandemic moved on. But I guess, I mean, over the 2 years, so if you look at 2 year average numbers, one company is a clear winner across its brands, and that's the ShopRite Group. If you look at Checkers, what has happened with Checkers, I think the initial launch of 60-60, At the start of the pandemic, it actually took a lot of customers away from, let's say, a Woolworths Food or a Pick n
Right.
Pay that never shopped at a Checkers. And most of those customers have actually stuck with Checkers now, and are actually permanent shoppers at Checkers. So Checkers has been a big beneficiary. But also, if you look at Shoprite and you say, so the lower brands within the Shoprite group, they've been big beneficiaries with the down trading as the consumers coming under pressure. People are down trading and looking for promotions. But what the Shoprite group is doing very well is that they're pricing better, and then their promotions are targeted, and rewarding the customer at the till through their rewards program. So they've been big beneficiaries. I think Boxer as well within the Pick n Pay group has been a big beneficiary with down trading and the fact that they're rolling out stores. But it's I don't know the numbers of the of, I don't know the numbers because they don't disclose them to us,
Right.
of the numbers, but they've been big beneficiaries. I think the biggest losers, and it's clear to the market as a whole, is Woolworths Food. The numbers are starting to slow down. The numbers in July were a bit weak, and I think SPAR, the core SPAR SA business, so excluding Build It and excluding liquor, that business is struggling and has lost a bit of market share.
Now, very interesting to shift away from the food retail sector and move into the clothing sector. In that industry, it's not just about getting the best fashion in stores, but also about distribution, knowing your target market, catering for that target market. What's happening there? Like, are there similar dynamics at play? What are the key points to take out of the last few years?
Yeah, in the clothing space, I think it's some very similar dynamics to the food space, where you've seen clear winners and clear losers. I think from a winner's perspective, the Foschini Group currently has 30 brands in their portfolio and 22 in South Africa. And I mean, those guys, what they're offering the consumer is very specific. They know what they're doing, but they know what they're offering. Their pricing is good. They're moving a lot of manufacturing onshore in South Africa. So therefore, that means that they can launch new products quickly, and they can increase production. They don't have to wait for 9 months for new product to come in. So they've been big beneficiaries across the lower LSM, mid LSM, and high LSM. So they've been very strong from a top line perspective. I think Pepkor as well, especially at the start of the pandemic, they were big beneficiaries. They benefited from the grants, they benefited from down trading, and just their overall offering. Because remember, Pepkor is more basic offering across Pep and Ackermans, basic offering. So they've been big beneficiaries. And I think with the Mr Price Group, they over the past few years with the new CEO, they've stabilized their business, and they've actually been gaining market share. If you look at the latest numbers that from July, when they released their Q1 update, they're also gaining market share. From a loser's perspective, which has been happening for a while now, over the past, say, 5 years, it's the Woolworths fashion, beauty, and home business. So let's say that the clothing business that has been struggling, and there's a lot of issues at play there with the supply chain being one of their biggest issues. And I think Truworths also struggling, and the issue there is predominantly price points. So price points are too high, and therefore the consumer tends to struggle to pay. But what they do is they kind of offset that impact with the credit offering. So basically, consumer takes their credit, their store card, and they buy something and just pays over time. So clear winners, Foschini Group, Mr Price and Pepkor, and then on the loser side, I'd say Woolworths Clothing. And then the Truworths Africa business.
Brilliant. I think the takeout here is that yes, we've had the backdrop of rising cost of living over the last year, but clearly different companies will always react differently, and it's good to take a step back and take that into account when it comes to investing. Thanks a lot, Atsumile. I think it's been great, very insightful. Glad to have you on the team managing our assets. Until next time, to all of our listeners, please refer any questions to retirementfunds.co.za. We look forward to having you again.